1 Kings chapter 10. When the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of Yahweh, she came to test him with hard questions. So she was attracted by his wisdom about the name of Yahweh. And maybe this looks forward to the Gentiles coming up to Jerusalem to learn the message about the gospel from the Lord Jesus when his kingdom is established. Because Solomon's kingdom was only a type, we could say, of the kingdom of Jesus. She came to Jerusalem with a great train, with camels, spices, much gold, precious stones. And when she'd come to Solomon, she talked with him of all that was in her heart. Solomon told her all her questions. When the queen of Sheba had seen all the wisdom of Solomon, and the house that he had built, the food of his table, the sitting of his servants, the attendance of his ministers, their clothing, his cupbearers, and his ascent by which he went up to the house of Yahweh, there was no more spirit in her. She said to the king, "It was a true report that I heard in my own land of your acts and of your wisdom, but I didn't believe the words until I came and my eyes had seen it. The half wasn't told me." So people don't believe words often until they see the words. She says, "I heard the words, but I didn't believe the words until my eyes saw it." So we are to be like Jesus was, the Word made flesh. And we, in our own lives, are the greatest witness to the gospel. And that's why Peter says that if a woman is married to a man who doesn't believe, he might, without the Word of God, without the preaching specifically of the Word, be persuaded by the good way of life of the wife, because that gospel is, as it were, made flesh in her. "Happy are your men, happy are your servants who stand continually before you, who hear your wisdom." Well, that's how it was then, but when Solomon died, the people came to his son Rehoboam and said, "Your father whipped us, and he abused us. Please, can you treat us better?" So this was how things were, but Solomon got bitter with people as he gets older. And you're seeing this all the time in the Bible, of people who start at one level and then they go down. Whereas we should be growing and growing closer and closer to God. But you only get that if you remain humble and if you yourself apply God's word to yourself. "Blessed is Yahweh your God, who delighted in you to set you on the throne of Israel, because Yahweh loved Israel forever. Therefore he made you king to do justice and righteousness." So God had put Solomon on the throne. The throne was still God's, and all those kings just reigned on his behalf, because Israel were the kingdom of God. It was all overturned when Zedekiah, the last king of Judah, was put off the throne. It was overturned until he come, whose right it is, and I will give it him, and that's Jesus. That's what Ezekiel 21 says. So the kingdom of God in the future will be, as it were, the kingdom of God re-established, but on a far greater level. She gave the king 120 talents of gold, spices, precious stones, and the navy of Hiram that brought gold from Ophir brought from Ophir a great quantity of almug trees and precious stones. The king made of the almug trees pillars for the house of Yahweh and for the king's house, and harps and stringed instruments for the singers. King Solomon gave to the queen of Sheba all her desire, and she turned and went to her own land, she and her servants. Now the weight of gold that came to Solomon in 1 year was 666 talents of gold. Well, 666, you start thinking of the number of the beast in Revelation, which is the number of a man. And you find there that Babylon is described as trading in all these things, having gold, precious stones, expensive timber, and all this kind of thing. So I think it's a hint that all wasn't well, that what appeared to be a great worship of Yahweh was in fact really Solomon serving the flesh. And that is what happened, because then later he turns away from God. Solomon made 200 bucklers of beaten gold. He made 300 shields of beaten gold and put them in the house of the forest of Lebanon. The king made a great throne of ivory and overlaid it with the finest gold. All King Solomon's drinking vessels were of gold. It was nothing and silver. Silver was nothing accounted of in the days of Solomon. The king had at sea a navy of Tarshish with the navy of Hiram. Once every 3 years came the navy of Tarshish, bringing gold, silver, ivory, apes, and peacocks. Well, I think Tarshish there just means a distant place, and he had, therefore, long-distance trading boats. So King Solomon exceeded all the kings of the earth in riches and wisdom, and all the earth sought the presence of Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God had put in his heart. Well, this does look forward, clearly, to the kingdom of the Lord Jesus, who is the greater than Solomon. As we read in the New Testament, a greater than Solomon is here. And won't it be great when actually the whole world wants to learn? It's not us continually trying to get people to be interested, but the whole world will want to know and will come to Jesus to be taught. Solomon gathered horses and chariots together. He had 1,400 chariots and 12,000 horsemen that he placed in chariot cities. He made silver in Jerusalem to be as stones. Well, the king of Israel, in Deuteronomy, it says, must not multiply silver and gold, must not have horses and chariots, and must not multiply wives. Yet Solomon does all this. And it says there that when the man became king, the man or the king was to write out those laws. I must not multiply silver and gold. I must not multiply wives. I must not have horses and chariots. And Solomon presumably did that, but then he goes and does the very opposite. And this is the trouble with Solomon, that he does the very opposite of what he knows is true. He tells the young man in Proverbs, careful of the Gentile woman, don't get involved with Gentile women, they'll lead you astray, they'll flatter you with their eyes. But when you come to the Song of Solomon, he writes this love song or says these love things about this Egyptian girl, and he says three or four times, you flattered me with your eyes are wonderful. And he marries all these Gentile women. So he does the very opposite, and this is the problem. We can think that simply because I know the truth, I know what is right, therefore I'm okay. But you've got to actually apply it. It's like we talk about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God will come on earth. Jesus will return. And you can preach that and believe that or say you believe that. But the question is, what about you? Will I be there? And this is the whole thing that I, little me, that I really will be there and live forever in God's kingdom. That is actually belief of the gospel, not just knowing about it. The horses which Solomon had were brought out of Egypt, and the king's merchants received them in droves. A chariot came up and went out of Egypt for 600 shekels of silver, and a horse for 150. And they did this for all the kings of the Hittites and the kings of Syria. They brought them out by their traders. So I think how this started was that Solomon was like the middle man. Egypt was to the south, and Syria and the Hittites were up to the north. And so they used to bring these horses and chariots out of Egypt, buy them from there, get them in Israel, and then sell them on to the Syrians and the Hittites. But Solomon started to want them himself. And so it just shows it's better to keep away from bad things. If you are dealing in something that's wrong, then you will want it for yourself. The person who sells drugs ends up wanting to do drugs themselves. And you've just got to be wise and realize that I'm weak, that no one is strong. It's no good thinking, oh, I wouldn't be tempted by that, oh, I wouldn't do that. I can just deal with all this stuff for somebody else. We're too weak, and we need to realize that. And again, it's a question of humility. Are you humble enough to realize that you are weak and prone to temptation? And if so, then just don't meddle with those things.